This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Is 9:07. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Beautiful start. A few clouds out there, but temperature up to 60 degrees here in downtown Wausau. Our studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. Thanks to Bill Swatala, 87th Assembly District Democratic nominee, for joining us. And again, the folks that actually put themselves out there and run for office, especially those who are not the mega rich. I'm sorry, but guys like Eric Hovde have it easy. Somebody like Bill Swatala, just an average working man serving on his, you know, for his city in Wittenberg, serving in Shawnee County at the county level, and somebody that still has to be working his everyday job at the same time. Compare those folks to the people that just, well, I'm rich and I want to be a senator. In so many ways, it really does kind of disgust me. And frankly, the idea of having two out-of-touch rich white guys serving Wisconsin as their U.S. senators for the next 4 years would be kind of disturbing, because we don't have a Senate race that is going to happen in 2 years. Ron Johnson has another 4 years left on his term, and the winner of the Senate race will have 6 years on their term. Talk about representation of the super wealthy for the super wealthy. We'd have Ron Johnson and Eric Hovde serving the super wealthy of our country as the two senators from the state of Wisconsin. So that's another reason why this race between Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde is so very important. So coming up here in the next few minutes at 9:34, we're going to, you know, loosen it up a little bit, talk about the arts and theater here in North Central Wisconsin. As coming up this weekend, Wausau Community Theater has a production of True West at the Whitewater Music Hall. It's going to be a fantastic show. It's a Sam Shepard classic. And we're going to talk to the director of that show, Casey Hofer. Is it Hofer? Am I right on that?
I believe so.
Okay. Yes. I thought you would know everybody's proper pronunciation. Being
first name, yes. Last name is a little tricky.
Being Mr. WCT yourself. We're going to talk to Casey. And then cast member Joseph Hawkins as well. So that's coming up at 9:34 this morning here on the program. And then, of course, we will wrap things up in our final segment with our daily history lesson. And we will have a chance to learn about some of the famous events that occurred on this date in history. We're going to talk about some of the celebrity birthdays. We're going to talk about some of the reasons to acknowledge this week and today when it comes to special activities. And, of course, we will have our number for the day quiz, as we do every weekday. We wrap things up with our number for the day quiz. We give Ian Welsh three choices, and based on the math, he should get one out of three right. So that means 33%. If he's above 33%, it's a passing week. And if it's below 33%, it is a failing week. A couple of weeks ago, did not quite get there, but last week bounced back, had three right, had a winning week. And if you get more right, if you get at least 50%, it's a winning week. So, again.
And last week was ruined this because I got a bonus question on Friday. So technically, I was 3 out of 6.
Yep, you were 50%. That's a winning week, because I thought the first Friday number was, it didn't make sense to me. I thought it was sort of unfair, so
yeah, we gave a number of arguments to take place on a week-long car trip. Okay, I said it was 8, which would be reasonable. You know what the answer was, people? It was 2.
And the thing about it was there's no attribution to where they got that. And I believe in attribution. So so we gave a second one, and Ian was able to get it right.
I mean, even if the numbers don't make a sense, at least they're fun.
Exactly. So would you like to know the topic for today's number for the day?
Yes. What is the topic for today's number?
Think about it. It will be dogs.
Dogs. I've always wanted a dog.
Well,
mom said I'm not allowed to have a dog until I actually have my own place, because she doesn't want to have to deal with it with a barking all night long. So
exactly. So we'll talk
about
that.
That's why I got a cat.
Exactly right. So that will be our number for the day quiz coming up at the very end of the program. Yep, we are 15 days away. In-person early voting begins in the state of Wisconsin tomorrow. I'm going to sound like, you know, complete opposite of everybody else around on this radio network.
Why's that?
I'm somebody that doesn't make such a big deal about early voting. I know it's fine. It's great to have the opportunity, but I just like going and voting on Election Day. I find that to be something special. I think that Election Day is a very, very special day. So, again, I'm not saying that, you know, that all the discussion and the pushing for early voting is a bad thing, because it is actually very good, because with myself and with yourself, I mean, who knows? We could have a blizzard that day. We could have something that causes us to, you know, whatever it may be, make it more difficult to get out and vote on Election Day. So if you do it early, if you see, hey, it's a beautiful day, we're going to go out there and take care of business, vote, that is great. But also at the same time, I just feel like, you know, I'm sort of a traditionalist when it came to Election Day. And also, you never know what you're going to find out. I mean, the 15 days, if you vote tomorrow, there's 14 days. Who knows? Maybe you find out something.
I'm not quite ready for early voting myself. I need to do my research on the candidates and the issues itself before I actually, you know, make an informed decision about who I'm voting for.
Exactly.
So, not just me, though. It's not for everybody. It's just what I do.
Exactly. So Friday night, we had the only debate between Tammy Baldwin and Eric Hovde. Baldwin, two-term incumbent. Hovde, multimillionaire real estate mogul and banker, guy who spends much of his time in California.
Was that on TV or was that on one of the streaming services?
It was on TV. It was on many of the civic media network stations, but unfortunately, well, I won't say unfortunately, but we had football on Friday night. So
I didn't even bother to watch it myself.
Exactly. And everybody's saying it's very close. I'm not a big person who goes with all these polls. As you well know, as everybody out there knows, I'm not somebody that brings on Charles Franklin from the Marquette University Law poll. I'm not somebody that talks about every poll that comes out. I don't believe that all these polls are you know, as accurate as some of them make it, and I don't want to make this a horse race story.
I mean, polls are just numbers, right?
Yeah, I mean, they are not the act. And again, I understand that you can get information on it. They talk about being a snapshot, but I always go back to when Ron Johnson ran against Russ Feingold the second time back in 2016. Every single Marquette University law poll in that race had Russ Feingold ahead. In the end, Ron Johnson won. So I always have that in the back of my mind, and it's always something that bothers me. Hovde was Eric Hovdean all the time on Friday night. He basically jabbed the senator because he wanted more debates, talking about, oh, Eric with, with his sarcasm. It's finally nice getting this debate, Senator Baldwin. But the question that kind of really jumped out, there was a moment where Hovde was asked about the farm bill. The farm bill has lapsed in Washington. It's a vital issue to many farmers. Mm-hmm. And he said he was not familiar with it, which was an incredible answer. You're from the state of Wisconsin. You want to serve as the United States Senator from Wisconsin, and he was not able to give an answer about the farm bill. And I saw Tammy Baldwin at a farm here in the Wausau area just last week, last Tuesday. And I saw her. It was not a public event. It was a private event where she was going to learn about the ginseng farm here in Wausau. And I saw her talking to the president of the farm, asking questions because there's been some struggles for ginseng farmers. Yeah. And I could see that she was engaged in this conversation, that she was trying to find out information she could use in terms of developing policy, in terms of talking to others about this issue. And then you have Eric Hovde, who says, I don't have a knowledge of this. Unbelievable. I mean...
The guy that wants to run as a senator for Wisconsin doesn't know about the main... One of the main sources of income in Wisconsin is farming? Well, that says something about somebody who doesn't really do their research on Wisconsin.
And the thing about this as well, and I'm going to talk in the next segment about some of these issues where Eric Hovde's trying to sound more reasonable, when we know that this is not where he stands. He's got a record. He tried to run for office a decade ago. In fact, the first time that Tammy Baldwin was elected, beating Tommy Thompson, Hovde lost the primary to Tommy Thompson, and Hovde ran as this far-right conservative. He is not moderated at all, but he's trying to sound more moderate on a number of these issues. I'm going to discuss them as we continue here this morning, coming up next, because, again, I've talked in the last half hour about the battle of ideas, how we need the battle of ideas. But we also need these candidates to be straight with the voters, not try to say things that make it sound better so they can get elected and then put in their very extreme agenda. And that's exactly what Eric Hovde is trying to do here. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go through some points of the debate on Friday night coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes with Ian Welsh. Again, coming up a little bit later on at 9:34, we will discuss the Wausau Community Theater production of True West with the director and also one of the cast members. The time is 9:18, 60 degrees in downtown Wausau. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. The time is 9:22 and 60 degrees here in downtown Wausau. Coming up again, Casey Hofer and Joseph Hawkins from True West, the Wausau Community Theater production coming this weekend. We'll get more information on that in just a few minutes. Also, again, if you'd like to join us, if you have questions or comments, if you want to join in on the conversation, you can give us a call at 715-382-9297. That's 715-382-9297. 382-9297. You can call or text us at that number, 715-382-9297. Again, Friday evening, it was a debate between Eric Hovde and Tammy Baldwin. And according to an article at The Hill, thehill.com, national publication, one of the areas that I just worry that Hovde is trying to, again, look a little bit more moderate, trying to look a little bit more reasonable, just to get the votes, and then go back to being the far-right person right in the hip pocket of Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell. According to The Hill, quote, in one of the more surprising developments of the evening, Hovde ceded ground to Democrats on three major issues: prescription drug prices, Supreme Court reform, and some types of environmental regulation. Early in the debate, Hovde said he would favor more government negotiation with pharmaceutical companies to bring down the cost of prescription drugs, something that was a key reform in President Biden's Inflation Reduction Act. The Republican bristled at the claim that he opposes negotiations with drug companies, insisting that he would like to see the government flex its purchasing power to drive down drug costs. I believe we need to negotiate with Big Pharma, Hovde said. I think our drug prices are too high. But the thing about it is, Republicans have done nothing about that. It was the president and Democrats who've done something about it. He says he's the one who's against Big Pharma. Give me a break. Hovde said later in the debate he would also support tougher Supreme Court reforms, including term limits on sitting justices, something that Biden proposed in a July Washington Post op-ed. And Hovde said he would support tougher government regulations of PFAS, so-called forever chemicals that pollute waterways and water sources. Wonderful, Eric. First time we've ever heard any of this from him. Wonderful. But again, he has come across, when it comes to the issue of abortion, where you've seen the commercials, you've seen the quotes from Eric Hovde talking about how he is totally against abortion. Now he's trying to wiggle his way into some more of a moderate position on it. So again, the idea that he can get on stage and say these things he had never said before, and, oh, we're supposed to believe that. Give me a break. Also, another aspect of the debate that has become, I think, something that has been talked about a lot over the weekend, the idea of Baldwin being pressed by people like Hovde and the Republicans about her partner. And Baldwin, of course, is the first openly gay non-incumbent elected to Congress. Her partner, Maria Brisbane, became a controversial topic at Friday's debate, according to The Hill, because of her career as a wealth advisor. And then Hovde, Mr. Wealth himself, repeatedly accused Baldwin of having a financial conflict of interest by regulating industries that Brisbane advises on and for not disclosing her partner's financial assets. Same guy that will not tell us specifically how much he is worth. So again, it's incredible how he's been pushing it. And finally, Baldwin had enough of Eric Hovde. He said, Eric Hovde should stay out of my personal life. But Hovde refused to drop it and insisted the issue is far bigger than a matter of personal privacy. Again, coming from a guy, I would like to see Eric Hovde call on Donald Trump to put out his tax returns. I would love to see Eric Hovde call for Donald Trump to put out his health records. I would like to see Eric Hovde be, you know, actually push forward all this stuff he said in a debate that he wants to have done. Both candidates, according to The Hill, refused to back away from misleading negative ads. Disinformation has become a huge topic of discussion. Shannon Sims, the anchor of WTMJ Television in Milwaukee, asked Baldwin about an ad that alleged Hovde called farmers lazy, and asked Hovde about an ad that alleged Baldwin funded a clinic offering transgender therapy to minors without parental consent, which is crazy. Both of which have been determined to be false by nonpartisan organizations. Baldwin refused to back down, arguing that she has every right to amplify what her opponent has said in the past. She said, I think it's really hard to say an ad is false when you're hearing Eric Hovde in his own words, seeing him with your own eyes, telling you things that he has said. I think that is obviously very, very true. Hovde says that every one of Senator Baldwin's ads has been a lie. I'm supposedly the jerk from California. Well, he said a lot of jerky things.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'm born and raised in the state. Well, he has his multi-million dollar house in California. He's worked in California for years. He says, I vote here, I live here, I'm a UW grad. Well, that does not mean that saying that he has this multi-million dollar house and lives often in California is false. And then on the subject of the clinic allegedly providing transgender therapy, Hovde argued that the organization changed its website to obscure the nature of its services. Give me a break. I mean, how can you compare an ad that uses Eric Hovde's voice saying farmers are lazy to an ad that's complete crap about transgender therapy that kids can go to school and then come back? That's crazy.
I think it's just a big mess right now.
Well, again, Eric Hovde trying to moderate a lot of views, and he is not obviously going to be a moderate in the United States Senate. Should he be elected?
Yeah.
Coming up, we're going to talk about the Wausau Community Theater and their production of True West. That's coming up this week at Whitewater Music Hall. Coming up next, it'll be an information update. We're going to get the latest on news, weather, and sports. And that's straight ahead. We do that at the top and the bottom of every hour. It's a beautiful start here on this Monday. 60 degrees under sunny skies. I'm Chad Holmes with Ian Welsh. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Well, of course, Central Wisconsin and Wausau is a hub for the arts. We're very, very fortunate to have so many wonderful productions that come through, whether it's the high school level, the community level, the touring shows from the Grand Theater, so many great opportunities to see some fantastic theater. And coming up this weekend, a chance to see some great theater as well as one of the classics, Sam Shepard's True West, will be performed at the Whitewater Music Hall through the Wausau Community Theater. And very happy to welcome both the director and one of the cast members to the program, Casey Hofer, who is the director, and Joseph Hawkins, who is a member of the cast. And gentlemen, thank you for coming on by.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I got to tell you, and we were talking in the run-up, it's wonderful to see some of these straight plays come because, I mean, obviously, you get a lot of musicals. We see, we talked to Ian here. He's been singing his heart, little heart out in productions recently.
Yes, I have been.
But as Ian well knows, and I tell him this all the time, I want to see straight plays. And to see a Sam Shepard production in a very intimate setting is something that's very exciting. And, KC, you were telling me about the fact that this was kind of a brainchild, the idea of going to Whitewater, having these mm-hmm. productions in maybe more intimate venues. Can you talk a little bit about why this is important to you?
Oh, yeah. So when I grew up doing theater, it was like this little theater up above a bar that right. did kind of these really cool plays. They were doing this one that was, I think it was Tom Stoppard's Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Were Dead. And, you know, I was like 19. I just thought that was so cool. And I remember going up to the director and being like, wow, you know, that's like a really kind of, you know, daring play to do, especially because this was a Midwest rural area. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why do you think, you know, you can do that? I'm like, why do you think it's going to sell? And he's like, well, it's a good script, Casey. Don't be worried about that stuff. If it's a good script and you know it's a good script, go out and do it. People will come to it. They will love it. So I've kind of always just kind of used that philosophy as I started kind of developing this with Wausau Community Theater and finding those really good scripts that are out there and being able to kind of perform them, like you said, in the round at Whitewater, which is a whole nother experience as well that I think people don't get a lot of.
Yeah, I saw one of the previous shows, Crimes of the Heart, there in that setting, and it feels like you're right there. You're almost part of the action. You're so close. Oh, yeah. You really are. You're close to the stage. And Joseph, good script.
Yeah, great script.
Sam Shepard, I think, would be a good script. Can you tell folks, if they're not familiar with True West, what is the show about?
I mean, it's really about two brothers. It's kind of a Cain and Abel story. I mean, it's like you have a dysfunctional family dynamic there between an older and younger brother. One of them is sort of a drifter, kind of a con man. He's off on the side, and the other one is he's much more into the 9-to-5. Yeah, he's West Coast still, so he's got that Hollywood lifestyle style. And they come together into this sort of what might be a bottle episode of a show where you're just in this one room, and you see him sort of interact and have the sort of family dynamic, and then you see it shift as they learn more about each other and interact and, you know, argue and fight as brothers do, and it escalates, and it's really got some interesting twists to it as it goes on, as they sort of become more involved in each other's lives. It's a lot of fun, and it's got some really fun wordplay that he's wrote. He's one of those classic American playwrights.
Are you the drifter or are you the knight?
I am the drifter as the scruffy older brother. So.
What is the best part of playing this role?
It's really against type for me. That's one of the fun things is I've done the last two shows with Theater on the Side through Wasa Community Theater, and this one was just a chance to sort of sink my teeth into something that I wouldn't normally necessarily go for, but it just sort of called to me as I'm getting older, and being able to sort of just go for something that was fun and over the top and a lot of fun to challenge myself.
And Casey, you said it, you're looking for good scripts. You're looking for great shows. What was it that attracted you to this show? And obviously, you know, True West and Sam Shepard is exceptionally well-known. But personally, because for you, why was this a show that you wanted to stage here?
Yeah, like you said, it's a very well-known show. I mean, ever since I was a young man, and I studied theater a little bit in college, I remember talking to all the actors, and it was all on their bucket list. Everyone wanted to do True West. And I read it back during that time, and I really loved it because it is just so well written. But I think what really kind of touches me most is it's very much about kind of the relationships you have with brothers. And I don't know if you have a brother, if anyone you know has, or obviously people listening have brothers. But,
unless you're very, very, very insulated.
But I think there's something odd when you look at your brother, especially if you guys grew up separately, to do vastly different things, where you can always look at him and be like, hey, this is someone I know in the world who did come from what I came from and has the same background, has the same genetic makeup, but then how does that differ? Why are we different? How are we different? And actually, are we actually the same? Which I think is really what this play kind of probes and asks.
How many characters are in the show?
There are four characters.
We heard about the brothers. Who are the other two characters?
The other two characters are actually some of my favorite characters. There's Saul, who is a Hollywood producer, who's a little bit of a sleazeball, who comes down, and Austin's working with him to try to get his script produced. And then, of course, our good friend Sarah Rudolph plays Mom, who shows up in the play as well, because they're all staying at their mother's house, and then of course after they trash the place, mother comes home.
We're talking to Casey Hofer and Joseph Hawkins from the Wasa Community Theater, who'll be a part of True West coming up this weekend at Whitewater Music Hall. When are the shows, real fast, before we continue our people know this, but before we continue our discussion?
October 24th, 25th and 26th at 7 p.m.
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yep. And we also have an option for a pay what you will dress rehearsal. This will be our only run in the space before we do an actual performance. But if you would like to attend that, you can go online and reserve a seat for it. You'll find all the information on our Facebook. And that is pay what you will, meaning you can pay anything. And we're not bluffing with that. If you want to pay $0, pay $0 and come watch this dress rehearsal.
And Joseph, what's the process been like? because again, it's a small cast. I imagine that, you know, the process is a little different than one of those massive musicals we were talking about with 25 people on it. What's the process been like for this show?
I mean, it's a longer rehearsal process too, because I mean, so much of it focuses on the two brothers that you're just, I'm in a room with Dan for weeks at a mm-hmm. time, and there's a lot of give and take and back and forth, and first you sort of want to sit down and a lot of reading through it and making sure you know the lines, you know what the sort of meaning behind them, and do some sort of reading back and forth to find that emotion, and then you just really want to get it up on its feet and sort of discover it. I had never worked with Dan before this one, and so we were sort of discovering each other as well, what you give and take between the two of us. And it was just kind of a lot of fun, because you'll run a scene and you'll try something, and maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, but you'll learn what he may have responded to with you on that, and then you mm-hmm. go through it again. And there's a lot of physicality in this one too. Yeah. So I mean, we had to do some fight choreography, combat choreography, which is not something you normally have to do, but it's nice to bring that in and get some professionals to bring you in, and you know how to make it look on the stage and mm-hmm. believe it. And so you sort of keep adding these layers and these nuances to it, and it sort of fleshes it out, and you discover it as you go.
And Casey, as the director, what is the best part of working maybe with a smaller cast, a show like this, and maybe what are the challenges of a show like this as well?
I think it's very much on top of what Joe said, like being able to really flesh out and go into each scene and almost each moment and each beat, and finding how that's going to play best, how that's going to work. The other thing I like about directing in the round is that you kind of have to have an eye kind of 360, so I always think of it like film. Like one part of the audience is going to get this over the shoulder shot, another part of the audience is going to get this other over the shoulder shot, then someone's going to get the medium shot, and then the fourth part of the audience is going to get the wide shot, and then you just kind of want to keep moving that around and changing that around. So that's a very fun way to block it, and kind of finding those movements, watching actors move in what, even though that sounds complicated, they actually end up moving in what I think is a much more natural way than they would on a proscenium. And so that's always very enjoyable, I'd say. That's one of the best things I like about it.
It's interesting as well, because the difference, like you were talking about how much more intimate it is the audience is right there. Mm-hmm. So you're not doing something that has to project to the back of a house. You're doing something for somebody that's 4 feet from you. So you sort of pull things in as well, and so it makes it a much closer contact. The audience is a character in it, because you are basically right in that room with them, kind of.
Well, one of the great things about live theater is that feeling of the audience, and it's obviously must be a different feeling than, say, at a place like the Grand Theater, where they're far away from, even at the university as well. How is it different when the audience is right, I mean, for lack of a better term, in your grill?
It is. I've done a lot on the proscenium and on the stage, and like the Grand and that too. And when you have those lights, there's sort of a wall between you, and right. it distances you from them. You can be aware of all the faces that are around you, and so it's keeping that and I guess not swinging for the fences on every moment, mm-hmm. because sometimes those smaller moments hit harder when you're there too. So it's really a change in dynamic and like reining things in at certain times, so that way when the things are big, they hit even harder.
Casey, would you consider all four of the actors you're working with veteran actors, experienced actors?
I actually don't know if I would say that, because Dan, I think, has only done community theater, right? And then Paul's a community theater actor. But, I mean, they're both very capable, despite that fact. Joe obviously has a little bit more professional credits under his belt. And then Sarah Rudolph, of course, is definitely a veteran actor.
How do you, as a director, use the actors and what they bring to you? I mean, sometimes I would think that, you know, you have your ideas. How much do you get back from your actors? How much do you implement what they tell you in terms of your work as a director?
I think that's one of the better parts of it, is really just kind of letting these guys play. Sometimes I think when we were blocking, we were doing a lot of things where I'm like, okay, I kind of want you to do this movement, and then, you know, Joe would be very straightforward, or Dan would be very straightforward and say, well, that's really not working for me, because like I feel like this line makes me want to move like this, and makes me want to do this. And it's like, okay, well, let's take it back and let's try it the way you're saying it. And then we can kind of always compromise on everything we're finding.
And do you find the same give and take as an actor working on this show?
Oh, absolutely. And I've worked with Casey before, and as we have a similar language in how we do things and a give and take. And he pushes me at times, too, because there are things that I'm very comfortable doing things a certain way. And he's like, can we try this? And I'll try it that way too. And sometimes it's like rewiring the brain, because it's like it's what the character does need, but it's not how it works in there. And so there have been some challenging moments, but I mean, that's some of the fun of it too, is like pushing through those blocks and finding some of that excitement and that different person within you.
Absolutely. So again, Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, True West by Sam Shepard, Wausau Community Theater, the production at the Whitewater Music Hall. Again, a very intimate setting. You'll be right there. You can feel the actors, feel the emotion, feel the words, and take advantage, because it really is something special. You get something different than, say, some of the productions at a bigger house, or it really is special. I've had that chance at Whitewater. It really is something that I think people will definitely enjoy. And also, again, just to make sure that the Wausau Community Theater keeps doing these kind of shows, I think it's that kind of importance as well. But KC, Joseph, again, break a leg as you have finished up your tech and dress rehearsals here this week, and hopefully have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. So, again, take some time. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, 7 p.m. at Whitewater Music Hall. We will come back. We'll have our daily history lesson. We'll have our quiz for Ian with his number for the day. And we'll finish things off here on this Monday. Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome back, Chad Holmes Show, 98.9 WXCO, online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Thanks to Casey Hofer and Joseph Hawkins for joining us.
Yep.
Got a mind freeze there for a moment.
It's Monday.
Thanks,
it's okay.
Yeah, thanks for them for joining us, and hopefully people can get out there and see True West coming up Thursday, Friday, and Saturday over at Whitewater Music Hall. And interesting to hear the construction right outside our window here. I mean, I don't know if people
it's
can
really
hear
loud.
It. Yeah, it's like, holy cow, they're doing some work right in front of our window here in downtown Wausau as the downtown construction continues. Today is Monday, October the 21st of 2024. It is day number 295 of this year. There are 71 days remaining in the year, and a number of famous events have occurred on this date in history. On this date in 1879, Thomas Edison invented a workable electric light at his laboratory in Menlo Park, New Jersey. On this date in 1988, a federal grand jury in New York indicted former Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos and his wife, Imelda, on charges of fraud and racketeering. On this date in 2001, Washington postal worker Thomas Morris died of inhaled anthrax. Also on that very same day in 2001, the United We Stand benefit concert for the September 11, 2001 terror attack victims was held at RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C. The event, organized and headlined by Michael Jackson, also featured pop stars Aerosmith, Mariah Carey, the Backstreet Boys, and others. On this date in 2014, Oscar Pistorius was sentenced to 5 years in prison for killing his girlfriend, Reva Steenkamp. On this date in 2018, Julia Louis-Dreyfus was presented with the Mark Twain Prize, comedy's top honor, at a ceremony in New York. On this date in 2021, Alec Baldwin shot cinematographer Halina Hutchins dead and injured director Joel Souza with a prop gun in a rehearsal on a film set in New Mexico. Some famous people are celebrating their birthdays today. TV Judge Judy Shinlin is 82 years old today. Charlotte Caffey of the Go-Go's is 71. Catherine Hardwick of Twilight is 69. Ken Watanabe, actor from The Last Samurai, is 65.
That's a mouthful.
Jeremy Miller, who played Ben Seaver on Growing Pains, is 48. Will Estes of Blue Bloods and American Dreams is 46. Kim Kardashian of Keeping Up with the Kardashians is 44. Model Amber Rose turns 41 years old today. Glenn Powell of Twisters and Top Gun Maverick is 36. And country star Kane Brown is 31 years old today. And if you're out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at 98.9 WXCO. Some special events being acknowledged this week. It is Freedom from Bullies Week. It is Food and Drug Interactions and Awareness Week. It is Business Women's Week. It is Character Counts Week. It is Chemistry Week. It is Collegiate Alcohol Awareness Week. It is Friends of Libraries Week. It is Lead Poisoning Prevention Week. It is Massage Therapy Week. It is Nuclear Science Week. It is Pharmacy Week. It is Respiratory Care Week. It is School Bus Safety Week. It is Teen Driver Safety Week. I'm going to go right to the day. There's so many weeks it is this week. It's insane. It is Apple Day. It is Babbling Day. It is Celebration of the Mind Day. It is Pumpkin Cheesecake Day. It is Reptile Awareness Week Day. And there's a whole bunch more. I don't know how you celebrate all this stuff. It's ridiculous. So
a lot of reasons to celebrate.
Yeah, a lot of reasons. But we're going to now go to our number for the day quiz.
Yes.
We give Ian Welsh three choices each and every day. So based on the math, he should get 33% correct, one out of three. So if you're above 33% for the week, it's a passing week. If you're below 33% for the week, it's a failing week. It's a winning week if you get at least three correct. So there you got it. So people, they know the rules. Let's get to it.
It's about dogs.
It is about dogs. And it's, in fact, also something that's part of our history lesson. So sort of double dipping. 1 year ago today, on the 21st of October of 2023, Bobby, the world's oldest dog, died. Aww. What age was Bobby, the world's oldest dog, when it died at the age of 31?
Oh, okay.
I just gave you the number. I just said it. Did you hear?
I wasn't listening.
All right, we're going to give you... Okay, I'm going to assume you weren't listening.
I wasn't listening. I didn't hear. I was looking at the construction vehicle.
Good, good, good. All right, we're going to... I'm going to trust that you did not hear it. All right, is the correct answer A, 27? Is the correct answer B, 31? Is the correct answer C, 35?
Ooh, I'm going to go with B. I'm going to go with a 31. What would the middle answer start?
All right. The correct answer, Bobby, the world's oldest dog, died at the age of 31.
Yes. Nice.
Man, I don't know if it was in your subconscious because I said it. But we're going to give it to you one for one. Have a great rest of your day.
You too, Chad. Happy Monday, everybody.
We'll catch you tomorrow, 8 till 10 a.m. here on 98.9 WXCO.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.